Sandy came back with the extension cord. Kurt plugged in the lamp so they shone on the corkboard from either side, illuminating his work surface with a fierce, even glow that eliminated every shadow. It was obvious he'd thought all of this out, step by step. Sandy wondered how many nights he'd lain awake long after Michelle had gone to sleep beside him, just lying there, looking up at the ceiling, and going over the procedure in his mind. Reminding himself he'd just have the one shot. Or how many afternoons there had been. Kurt parked a little way up some farmer's lane, with the Genesis radar gun pointed at an empty stretch of highway, calculating how many practice bats he'd have to go through before he dared tackle the real thing. Sandy, are you getting glare from these lights? He checked the viewfinder. No. With white, I probably would, but tan is great. Okay. Tony unwound the yellow tie holding the neck of the garbage bag shut. The moment he opened it, the smell got stronger.
Whoa, Jesus,
he said, waving a gloved hand. Then he reached in and pulled out another evidence bag. This one, a large. Sandy was watching over the top of the camera. The thing in the bag looked like a shop-worn freak show monstrosity. One of the dark wings was folded over the lower body. The other pressed against the clear plastic of the evidence bag, making him think of a hand pressed against a pane of glass. Sometimes, when you collared a drunk and shut him in the back of the cruiser, he'd put his hands on the glass and look out at the world from between them, a dazed, dark face, framed by starfish. This was a little like that, somehow. Seals open in the middle, Kurt said and nodded disapprovingly at the evidence bag. That explains the smell. Nothing explained it, in Sandy's opinion. Kurt opened the bag completely and reached inside. Sandy felt his stomach knot into a sick ball and wondered if he could have forced himself to do what Kurt was doing. He didn't think so. Trooper Wilcox never hesitated, however. When his gloved fingers touched the corpse in the bag, Tony recoiled a little. His feet stayed put, but his upper body swayed backward, as if to avoid a punch. And he made an involuntary sound of disgust behind his cute pink mask. "You okay?" Kurt asked. "Yes," Tony said. "Good. I'll mount it. You pin it." "Okay. Are you sure you're all right?" "Yes, goddammit. Because I feel queasy, too." Sandy could see sweat running down the side of Kurt's face, dampening the elastic that held his mask. "Let's save the sensitivity training session for later and just get it done. What do you say?" Kurt lifted the bat thing to the corkboard. Sandy could hear an odd and rather terrible sound as he did so. It might have been only the combination of overstrained ears and the quiet rustle of clothes and gloves, but Sandy didn't actually believe that. It was dead skin, rubbing against dead skin, creating a sound that was somehow like words spoken very low in an alien tongue. It made Sandy want to cover his ears. At the same time, he became aware of that tenebrous rustling. His eyes seemed to sharpen. The world took on a preternatural clarity. He could see the rosy pink of Curtis's skin through the thin gloves he was wearing, and the matted whorls that were the hairs on the backs of his fingers. The glove's white was very bright against the creature's midsection, which had gone a matted, listless gray. The thing's mouth hung open. Its single black eye stared at nothing, its surface dull and glazed. To Sandy, that eye looked as big as a teacup. The smell was getting worse, but Sandy said nothing. Kurt and the sergeant were right in there with it next to the source. He guessed if they could stand it, he could.